Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word this morning, we turn to the gospel reading on this Transfiguration Sunday from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it was about a year ago, April 8th, 2024, when about 50 people came to our church on the southern side of Indianapolis. They came from about six different states. April 8th was not a Sunday, it was a Monday. And why were people traveling so far to come to our church? April 8th was the day of an eclipse, a total eclipse. And our church, was in the path of totality. And on that day, many people gathered in the Indianapolis area. But in order to watch that eclipse transpire, people had to prepare, because that bright sunshine was blinding. Even when there was still a little sliver left, it was too bright to stare at. Once the eclipse had happened, we could look up into the sky, take our glasses off, and look at the eclipse. The sunshine is bright. The sunshine is beautiful, as it is this morning too, as you made your way to church at Christ today. Today, our Savior shines brighter than the sun. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, shines with all his splendor for you and for me for two reasons we will look at today. He does so to prepare us for his death and also to give us a gracious prelude of the glory that is to come. Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on a mountaintop. And although those disciples were sleepy, there were some very big things that were about to happen. That plain, ordinary Christ revealed all of his splendor and glory before them. What a wonder that must have been. Luke tells us that Jesus' face changed. Other gospel writers tell us how it changed. It changed to look like the sun. Can you imagine staring right into the sun? How marvelous and brilliant that sun is. But it wasn't just his face, it was his whole body. In fact, his clothing, Luke tells us, was white like the lightning, like a flash of lightning. How surprising that is to us when we see the lightning flash in the sky. Our Jesus showed forth his glory. It wasn't just a vision. Peter, James, and John saw the glory of Jesus revealed there on that mountaintop. And it wasn't just something that was given to Jesus for just a moment. This was who Jesus is. Jesus is our glorious, our splendorous Savior. What a thing to see. What a thing to marvel at. But why did Jesus do it? Why would Jesus show to these disciples his glory and splendor? One big reason was to prepare them for what was about to transpire. You may read in the first line of our gospel reading today, after 8 days of Jesus having spoken words prior to our gospel reading, those 8 days prior, Jesus had said something very momentous to his disciples. He said that the Son of Man must suffer, must be rejected by the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, and then be handed over to die, and on the third day rise again. Before Jesus was transfigured in all his glory, Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death. And shortly after his transfiguration, he would speak the very same words. Jesus was preparing his disciples for that day when they would see Jesus kneel in the Garden of Gethsemane, and sweat like drops of blood would come from his face as he prayed to the Heavenly Father. This day, the Transfiguration Day, prepared his disciples for that day when Jesus, their Master and Lord, would be hanging upon a cross, bleeding and dying. Jesus was telling his disciples that he came in humility, but not to be mistaken, that he is more than just a man who would be bleeding and dying. This is the Lord, the God himself. And so Jesus comes to us on this Transfiguration Sunday to prepare us for his death as well. It is no mistake why we gather here on Transfiguration Sunday, because we know what Wednesday is. Wednesday on the church calendar is Ash Wednesday, as we follow Jesus on that lonely, dark road that will take him to the cross to bleed and to die for us. But we are not to be mistaken either. This Jesus is more than just a man. He is also true God. It is the voice of the Father who says, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." This is who Jesus truly is. You will notice on the altar this morning two candles that have been lit. They are special candles that are lit probably every communion Sunday. And you know why they are lit. To remind you who Jesus is, whom you receive in the Lord's Supper. He is true man, but also very much true God. Fully man, fully God. The one that you receive, that you take and eat and take and drink, is the very body and blood of your God, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. What a gift. We marvel at this Lord and God who comes to us not to blind us with his splendor and glory, not to terrify us as the shepherds were terrified on the hills of Bethlehem when Jesus was born, but rather he comes in the simple means of grace. Jesus comes in a way that we sinners can see him in flesh and bone. He comes in the simple words of the gospel, not to overwhelm us, but to reveal himself to us, so that we by faith may come close to him and by faith embrace him who gives us his love. He comes in the simple means of water in baptism and the bread and wine in Holy Communion. He brings us close to him in a relationship that surpasses all understanding. Dear friends, Jesus shows forth his splendor to us to prepare us for his death and ultimately his glorious, victorious resurrection for us. But Jesus does even more for us this morning, doesn't he? As Jesus reveals his splendor to us, he also reminds us of that future glory that is to come. Do you remember that Jesus was not alone on that mountaintop with Peter, James, and John? There were two special visitors that all of a sudden appeared on that mountaintop. One was named Moses, and one was named Elijah. And Moses and Elijah carried on a conversation with Jesus. Luke gives us an insight into what they talked about. They talked about Jesus' departure, of what was about to happen in Jerusalem. his departure into death for our sins that would reach an ultimate goal of conquering that death so that we would have life through him. Jesus gives us this beautiful imagery here to remind us that what Peter, James, and John saw with Jesus and Moses and Elijah on that mountaintop, what they saw is what you and I will see when sin has been removed and when we will be in heavenly glory forever and ever. Have you ever stopped to think who was on that mountaintop? Moses. Moses had died some 1,500 years prior to this event at the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah had been carried up in a chariot of fire some 800 years prior to the Mount of Transfiguration event. You know what that tells us? It tells us that this life of 70, 80, 90 years is but a drop in the bucket as to what we have to look forward to when we get to heaven. That your home here is very, very temporary compared to the eternal home that our living and conquering and victorious Savior has won for us. There on that mountaintop, Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah. The scriptures don't go into how they recognized him, but it gives us an insight into what awaits us in heaven. What we will be, this John who was there on the mountaintop says in his first epistle, what we will be has not been yet made known to us, but one day Jesus will appear, John says. And when he does appear, we will see him as he is. What a glorious event that will be when we will be with our loved ones who have died in the Lord, who our hearts still long to see. We will see them not in sickness, not in a hospital bed, not in a grave with a stone in front of that grave. We will see them in the glory that was given to them by God's grace. And most importantly, we will see Jesus in all his glory and splendor, who made that heavenly home not only possible, but sure and certain through his life, death, and resurrection. Dear friends, does that sound appealing to you? Do we allow the scriptures to fan into flame this deep desire for what is to come when Jesus comes to bring us home? Or do we not really give it much thought about death and the eternal life that is to come for us by God's grace? Oh, may the word of God continue to speak deeply to our hearts as on those pages of scripture, in those simple words, God reveals his splendor and glory to us. God transports us to the Mount of Transfiguration, and by faith, we are able to see the glory that awaits us after this brief life is over. May we continue to view our Jesus in his splendor as he once again prepares us for his death and gives us a beautiful prelude to the glory that awaits us by his grace. God grant that to us all. Amen.